Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday already, the 13th of May. Coming up this hour, it's our May open line. We do these once a month in case you're listening to us for the very first time to get suggestions from our audience on programs we have overlooked or terrific books that you've read. It's usually nonfiction for this particular program, or people you've heard and you just want that person on the air again. We always entertain your suggestions, and frequently they're pretty good, and sometimes they're superb, and we follow through on many of them. So this is your chance to program 9 to 11. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Chrissy Pease is answering phones today, and I'm going to give you right off the bat, in case you can't get to the phone today and you know you have a suggestion, you are very welcome to send all of us emails, and you can just... What's the right word? You can send a triple thing to everybody if you... It's a triple thing. Yeah, you can send them to... Mine is dunnk at wpr.org. Rhonda's is fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, same at WPR. And Chrissy's is now, much easier, P-E-A-S-E at, guess what? WPR.org. And we always do like to hear from you. We can't follow through on everything, I'm sorry, but we do our best. That's the way we try to live. We do our best every day. Do the right thing. All right, let's go to phone calls. Our lines are jammed, so you evidently have been sitting home in the rain or whatever it's like wherever you are thinking about good programs. We start with Bill from Milwaukee. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Kathleen. I have a suggestion about an issue that is actually statewide, but it affects Milwaukee in a very serious manner in the immediate future. It is the failure of the media generally to cover Regional Transit Authority legislation thoroughly. Usually we get a part of it. We hear about the sales tax, but we don't hear about the property tax cut. We hear about the bill being in the legislature, the governor vetoing, but we don't get the whole story of what is really going on about this legislation. And Milwaukee is facing a serious crisis, and I'm hoping that maybe you could put together a program.
And you're looking at who is a guest, Bill?
Yeah, I would suggest two representatives of that come to mind immediately are Tamara Grigsby and Peter Barca. They are very articulate about this. I can give you other names. I can send them to you by email.
All right. And how does it affect the state?
I'm sorry?
How does it affect the state?
The state, it affects the state because regional transit authorities are being proposed in many parts of the state. And some, I think, have succeeded, but... Even the one in the Fox River Valley is failing, and they're going to lose if they don't get this. They're going to actually lose revenue from the federal government because their area is growing. It's getting larger, and it's exceeding the standard that the federal government uses to subsidize transit in low population areas.
Okay, send us more information.
I will.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Okay, bye. Dennis from Lodi. Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
Hi.
I just like to make a suggestion that I'd like to see Dr. Janet Hull. She has a big campaign against all of the unnatural sweeteners like NutraSweet, and I'd like to have her explain the benefits of alternative sweeteners and the pros and the cons versus the good sweeteners and the bad sweeteners, and the detrimental effects that NutraSweet actually causes on the human body. And I've been off of it since November, and it has been a literal struggle, but I do feel quite better. And I'd like to just have her on if she's never been on before. She wrote a couple books. One was called Sweet Poison, and talks about her struggle with NutraSweet and how she got off of it and turned her life around.
Okay. And so what do you use to sweeten things now, or do you not have things sweet?
That's the struggle for me. I decided to try to go with, instead of diet sodas and whatnot, I tried going with teas and coffees and whatnot, and turned out gaining some weight. And now I've been playing around with some of the new sweeteners. I've tried Splenda, and it's not been very good on my system. And I've now been playing around with the Purevia brand that is in the Life Water product, and that I like a lot, and they've got a lot of flavors out, but I really don't know the history on the Pure-Via brand, you know, since it's a byproduct of or it's an actual product of the stevia plant, which is an all-natural herb.
Okay. All right, Dennis, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. By Ellen from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to recommend a Professor Richard Wolff, who is a socialist economist. He's just written a recent book. It's just out, called Capitalism Hits the Fan. And he speaks all over the country. And I heard him speak here in Madison a couple weeks ago. He's very clear and articulate. He gives very clear explanations for the current economic collapse, and he also explains clearly some of the exotic financial instruments that have been used, which have really, caused economic problems. And in addition to all that, he offers some very interesting solutions to our problems.
Hmm. Okay, sounds good, Ellen.
And I have his phone number and email address. If I can give that to someone, could contact him.
Well, sure. Can you send that to us, via that email address?
Well, can I tell it to someone over the phone?
It's kind of hard to do that because Chrissy's answering all the other phone calls that are coming in right now.
Uh-huh. So, okay, well, I will email that, and then I'll explain what I just did so that you'll know.
Sure. We'll know who you are. I'll remember you, Alan.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Goodbye. Linda from Monroe. Hi.
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 I have two suggestions. The first, an article in the May 17th issue of Newsweek, Bust Up the Banks by Noriel Rubini and Stephen Mim. They also wrote the book Crisis Economics. Either one of those would make a good guest. I also understand Newsweek is getting sold.
Yeah, John Meacham would be a good guest right now, too.
Mm-hmm. And then my second issue, Senator Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas thinks that banks shouldn't be in the derivatives business, according to an article in the May 10th through 16th issue of Bloomberg Business Week. It's called Regulation, Why Wall Street Fears Derivatives Reform. I think she'd make a good guess.
Okay. Thanks, Linda. Let's go to Mike from Appleton. Hi.
Yeah, I suggest a show on, on immigration. But the thing is that most shows that you listen to today, you get people who are for and then people who are against. A lot of yelling, a lot of rhetoric, and a lot of misinformation. And so, the listener, what conclusion does he come away with? Who knows? So why not have a show with somebody who's absolutely, totally impartial on the subject and who can explain, things like, for example, you hear, the illegal immigrants are here doing jobs Americans won't do. Well, how true is that? Maybe it is true, but, maybe it's not. The fact that in the United States, there are more legal immigrants into the United States every year than the entire world combined, as far as, other countries' immigrants. Really draconian immigration laws that exist in other countries in comparison with the situation here. I think if you had a show like that, people would come away with a much clearer idea of the reality of what's going on, and it's a big issue.
Yeah, we had somebody years ago on the history of immigration who was really good. It may be time to find that person again. Did you hear yesterday's show on Juarez?
Unfortunately, just bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, it was quite a phenomenal show. I would, if you have time, recommend that you listen to that one because he had some pretty dramatic things to say about immigration. It is certainly a point of view on it, but I'm with you. We'll do more shows on this.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
Mike. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Milton from Madison.
Let's examine a national emergency that America is in right now. And this national emergency is said to be a deadly threat to us all, and we've heard it from everybody from our local newscasters to President Obama, the man who officially declared this national emergency that we're in right now. And the H1N1 pandemic is what I'm talking about. Maybe we need a retrospective for this thing to put it to bed, because it's the biggest scare that never happened. We're in a national emergency right now that gives the federal government powers over us that have really never been discussed. What are we going to do about the people who cried wolf? We ought to have a real investigation of what happened here. And in the European Union, they are having a real investigation of what happened. Between the connections of big pharma, various governments, and the many billions of dollars that turned out to be unnecessarily spent. And it was pretty much all driven by a handful of people in industry and government regulatory agencies who are in a revolving door situation anyway. And then they basically pulled off the biggest scare of all time. So I'd like to request a guest from the European Union investigation team or somebody from flucount.org, which is a website that gives real numbers that people can use to come to their own logical conclusions about this.
All right. Thanks very much, Milton, for your call. Judy is next from Ripon. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hello.
The man who just spoke previously, H1N1 didn't happen here because we were so diligent as healthcare providers to get people immunized. Anyways, my suggestion would be that you get somebody on that is a representative of the UW system who is very knowledgeable in what they're looking for in college applications. You have so many parents that are panicked and thinking that having their kids so hyper-scheduled is going to make all the difference in the world, that they are really going to handpick and look at every single one of these applications, that ACTs and SATs don't matter as much as extracurricular activities matter. And when the UW-Madison gets flooded with 10,000 freshman applications, what are they looking for? How do they sort? And what actually is important?
Hmm. Well, at the risk of saying this might be a self-serving program because we've just been through that process, I think that it's a good idea. And not just for the UW system. It is amazing to me how many schools had record number, and private schools too, record number of applications for the incoming class.
Right, and I think we're sending our kids down the wrong road by saying you have to be so hyper-scheduled and you're driving yourself insane by having them, you know, involved in every possible extracurricular thing, when I honestly don't think that that's what the colleges want. I don't think that they want a kid that's just been driven crazy by their parents. I think they want somebody that's strong academically. But that's an opinion. That's a hunch. I'd really like to hear facts.
Yeah. Well, we're doing a show, the second hour of our program, with the author of Are You Really Ready for College? He was a dean at Marquette, is retired now. But I'll ask him that question, too. So if you have a chance to listen, we will ask him that question, your question, hour number two. But it's a good...
Wonderful.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
We need to do a show on what moms are going to do when their kids go to college. I'm just starting to cry so much. It's just terrible. It's all right. Dogs, more dogs. Book clubs. I'm going to do a book club. That's what I need to do, is read more books. But what do you do? It's an interesting show because we all have separations. Don't you think we separate from our children? If we're lucky, go on to their lives. They go to a work life or technical school or a college, and life continues. It has its phases, but so it's a good, bad thing to have happen. All right, let's go next to Mark from Madison. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. I'd like to recommend two things. On the subject of immigration, that maybe you focus on the companies themselves that have been charged with immigration violations. You could use the company out in Iowa that was, I can't remember the name of it.
The one in Postville, the meatpacking place? The
meatpacking place, mm-hmm. And then in Texas, a company called Pilgrim's Pride had an investigation going on against it, and it was the companies themselves that are being investigated for identity theft and immigration violations. And then the federal government drops its charges against these companies when they pay small fees or small fines and such. But if you're letting the companies off the hook, that's not making the news. There's all of this focus on the immigrants themselves and not who's recruiting them. And those are at least two examples of investigating and finding out what companies have been charged with these violations.
Okay.
On the subject area of affordable housing, maybe we could look at the idea of community land trust as a way to take land out of the market, put it into community holding, and forever no longer pay a mortgage on it, and then just leave the land managed by an entity whose motivation is to retain how there's community land trust, community housing in Madison even that you could look into. The Madison Community Land Trust, I think is what it's called, Madison Area Community Land Trust. But it makes the focus of land management to be maintenance of affordable housing as opposed to trying to retain ownership in supposedly a ever-escalating value in the price of land. And, of course, we know that doesn't always happen.
Oh, those are really good suggestions. Your mind is sharp this morning, Mark.
Well, I've had enough coffee.
Oh. That's
I
what
need
does
chocolate
it.
And I'll be all better.
Oh, chocolate. That sounds good, too.
Okay, well, chocolate.
Thank you very much. Those are really good suggestions. We should do a series of shows on immigration because there's so much there. And yesterday's guest, I keep thinking about him because it was such a dramatic program, the Juarez show. But he was talking about NAFTA. Who's done an examination of NAFTA and what the results of NAFTA have been? That would be a good show for us to do as well. So why don't we look at that? Look at a series of programs on immigration. Does that sound good? Maybe? We got to take a pause. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And our email address, if you want to send those, actually, they're not real pertinent for this hour. Send your emails in case you can't get through on the phone or you can't get to a phone or you're working or walking or whatever. Send all of us your emails for suggestions for programs. Here are the addresses, and they all end with at WPR.org. So mine is Dunn K. Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, Pease, P-E-A-S-E. Send them copies to all of us at WPR.org. Thank you. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we are having our open line for the month of May. Zacharias from Eau Claire. Hi, Zacharias.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I was just talking to Cynthia, I think, and the idea that I got for a show is discussing food, but I want to put a different spin on it. You know, in the political scene, I think that national security is really a hot-button word. Or topic, rather, for, you know, both Republicans and Democrats. And, you know, what I want to talk about is about the food that we're consuming, kind of relating it back to, you know, the health care of our nation in dealing with, you know, one-fifth of our economy. And kind of what I'm getting at is I got a couple people in mind that have produced a couple documentaries that I think would be interesting if they haven't been on the show. Those being The Future of Food, probably Food, Inc., and The World According to Monsanto.
Okay. I think somebody has done the second one you mentioned, and we haven't done the other two, but they're all good shows.
Yeah, and I just really think that it's really important for Americans, the vast majority of Americans, to understand, you know, how their food is being produced, you know, the behind-the-scenes actions that lobbyists are taking to kind of control what types of foods we're eating, again, how they're produced and how they actually get to our kitchen tables. And I think that the vast majority of Americans have fallen into a complacent role and just accepted what's been given to them. And I think that a lot of propaganda that has been sent out from industry is really harming a lot of Americans, and it's really, you know, potentially jeopardizing our national security in the terms of the amount of money that we're spending on health care, food production, and various other things related to that.
Okay, Zacharias, thank you.
Cool, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. We go to Roger now from Lone Rock. Hi, Roger.
Hi, this is related to immigration. One of my thoughts, I got two ideas, excuse me. One is have someone on, and I don't know who, just to talk about what are the laws that we have in place, because many of us have gone to apply for a position or gotten hired, and we have to turn in our Social Security number with a picture ID, because companies are legally required to do this enforcement. Yet, we always hear about closing the border, building a fence, whatever. Yet, we have laws in place, and I'm sure we have inspectors and agencies in place to look at the employers and what are the penalties to them, what are the laws that we have in place, and what's the possible enforcement. Because if we were really serious about immigration, that would be what we already have in place to deal with, and that's a whole lot easier than building fences across Mexico, Canada, and then what do we do with the East and West Coast? And then the second idea is really the reason we don't really want to get serious about immigration is because everything would cost more, from hotels to lawn care to food. And so another idea would be, where are the places where illegal immigrants are being exploited in the United States, and what would some of the costs be to consumers if they weren't being exported? What would the cost of commodities end up being?
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Thanks very much for your suggestions. Jim from Milwaukee, hello.
I thought of two extra. Talk fast. just colorful guests, Jesse Ventura, American Conspiracies, take the chance on him. Second, in terms of the immigration issue, what's our part in the past in imposing ourselves on countries and taking control of countries? Stephen Kinzer, author of Overthrow, or somebody else possibly. And the one I first thought of is, it'd be nice to have linguist George Lakoff on, who talks about the correct way to frame issues, and see what he has to say about how progressives should frame some of the current issues that are going on.
All right, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. Tom from Green Bay. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hey, Tom.
Is what I was interested for a topic would be University Inc., like University of Phoenix, how it competes against, like, the University of Wisconsin, for instance. You could have one of the presidents of the Board of Regents address this, because they were talking about trying to attract more people that haven't completed their degrees. Well, University of Phoenix has a great marketing group that does this on a big scale. Also, the pitfalls of University Inc., because it's also traded on the tax on Wall Street, and Wall Street has expectations of how many students they have to enroll and how much they I guess they take 85% of the U.S. Federal help for students in finances. And just see what the University of Wisconsin, what they're going to do to compete against that.
Okay. All right, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Sarah from Zion, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I would love to see a show about climate change, global warming, and I think it would be cool if someone who was an expert in climate science, whether it's a scientist or someone who's just interested in public policy, so that people, I mean, there's so much, I hear so much information out there, I mean, that's like, as far as I know, is this completely wrong, and people have so many weird ideas about climate change, so maybe they could call in and say, hey, you know, I heard such and such, and then the guy could, you know, I don't know, people, that's just my idea, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I hear you. I hear you. Somebody had suggested before we went on the air that we get Al Gore on, and he's a hard person to book, but I would think we might have a chance to get him at least for half an hour. He would be the guy to talk to. All right, Sarah.
I happened to read this excellent book by a guy named Joseph Papp, P-A-P-P, and he was on some presidential board about, he's a physicist at MIT, and his book was so interesting to me that I thought he might be a good guy to
What's his last name?
P-A-P-P.
Okay.
Just a thought.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye. And we go next to Mike from Appleton. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, and another suggestion here with regards to term limits, and I think the mood of the country is for this. Let's say, you know, right now we're talking about the Supreme Court. So I don't think Kagan is a wild-eyed liberal, and I don't think Roberts is a wild-eyed conservative. But what I disagree with is that both of them are going to be there forever. And I think that's intrinsically wrong. Then if you look at the Senate and the Congress, I mean, you have characters like Spector, who was a Republican, now he's a Democrat, and if he could, he'd probably become an independent, just as long as he can stay in power. And that's wrong. And I think a lot of the problems that we have in this country are because these politicians are self-serving. You know, they're worried about elections, and do they really have the best interests of the country at heart? I've got my doubts. And so I think they should be in there for a specific amount of time, and then they're gone.
Okay, thank you. Keith from Sherwood, hi.
Hey, Kathleen, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Keith?
Good. The take that we've been getting mostly on the impact of the health care reform bill has been mainly the media has gone to these business groups that are decidedly right of center. There's a, and I don't know if you've had him on, but there's a John Ehrensmeyer who chairs a group out of San Francisco called Small Business Majority, and of course, because I agree with it, it's a more practical approach to what the reform could do for small business and other issues as well. You know, of course, even though the thing has passed, it's still pretty much on our radar screens, and people are arguing about it. So, I think this would give kind of a different take to what a lot of small businesses actually feel about this reform.
Okay. We haven't done a follow-up after the many, many shows that we've done. We should look at this issue again.
It's about time, Kathleen.
Okay. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks a lot, Kathleen.
Yeah, uh-huh. Bye. We go next to Gay from Whitewater. Hello, Gay.
Yeah, hi. I have three ideas, and I'll make them very quick. First is about a current problem that's happening, at least in Madison and maybe elsewhere. A very disturbing story about a young woman who moved into someone else's home and squatted there with her two children for a few days. And apparently this is some kind of an attempt, and the spokesperson attempt to give homeless people a place to stay in houses that are being repossessed, whatever. And, of course, it went badly, but her spokesman was not very articulate about his reasons and the whole movement for doing this. So that's one, and I think that needs to be investigated.
I think Joy addressed that this morning. Did you hear that show?
I did not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You may want to go on the archive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The second one is there's an article in the New Yorker, the most recent one. I'm sorry, I don't have the article's name or the author, but it is about how drugs come to be approved, how drug trials are done for terrible illnesses.
Good.
I think that one would be very helpful. And the third one is about a new food safety bill that's causing a lot of anger and suspicion on both the left and the right because it somehow appears to allow Monsanto to use more of the patented seeds and get more federal money in the name of making food safer. And I'm very confused. I go on the websites and look at these things and not sure who to believe, but it is causing a lot of extreme anger. I don't know, the food safety bill, something or other, that's now being considered.
All right, Gay. Great suggestions. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Rich in Sullivan. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, and
good.
I hope you're good, too. I'd like a program on Milwaukee's Carl Schurz, who endorsed Abraham Lincoln in antebellum, you know, Civil War America. And the reason I'd want the program is I'd like a scholar to examine, analyze whether there are any parallels between the early anti-corporatism of the Republican Party, which really was a party that believed in proprietorship and wage workers. That was one of the reasons why they were so against slavery as a force. And there seems to be a parallel between that to me and some of the immigration debates that are going on today. But the Republican Party has sort of lost its way in terms of its history. And I wonder if there's a scholar at UW-Madison or Milwaukee or somewhere, a Carl Schurz scholar, who could say whether there were any parallels between Tea Partiers and some of the motivation in the early Republican Party that was anti-corporatist.
Okay, Rich.
Thank you.
Brings us into new territory. It's always good to go into new territory. Thank you, Rich. We go next to Marin from Freedom. Hello, Marin.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I would like to hear a program about the American dream and how it has been redefined, particularly for the last few generations.
Mm-hmm.
In light especially of the program you had just previous to this one with the reset that we are looking at and how housing and jobs and what it means to be an American for these next generations.
Okay. Do you have an idea of who we ought to have on, Maureen?
No, I don't really. No, okay. I went through a program at UWM called the Masters of Liberal Studies program, and they seem to have quite a few people there. Jeffrey Hayes was the professor there, and he might have some ideas.
All right, Jeffrey Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
At Madison.
No, excuse me, he was in Milwaukee.
Oh, in Milwaukee. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's a really good topic. We just need to find the perfect guest for it.
Excellent.
I know there are many. Okay, thanks, Maureen.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure. Bye. Matt in Lake Geneva. Hello.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. One of the last callers was talking about anti-corporatist. Joy Cardine had a show on yesterday with Professor Jeffrey Miron from Harvard. He's a self-professed libertarian. I want to hear more libertarians, but I don't like that kind of libertarian. He's kind of the kind you usually have when you do rarely have a libertarian. It's like people from the Reason Foundation and the Cato Institute, which are corporatist libertarians. And I want to hear some anti-corporatist, less conventional libertarians, like libertarians who were opposed to NAFTA, for example, on free market grounds, you know, opposing it because it's managed trade, not really free trade. And I think more libertarians from the Mises Institute, and they have their project, lewrockwell.com, Justin Raimondo from antiwar.com, even the progressive Alexander Cockburn from Counterpunch magazine, he's a kind of a left libertarian. I want to hear more from these left libertarians. I want to hear from the Center for a Stateless Society. There are people over there like Kevin Carson and Thomas Knapp. I'd like to hear more of these anti-corporatist libertarians.
All right, Matt.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks very much for the call.
Bye.
Bye. Ellen is next from Brookfield. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. To my slaughterhouses and puppy mills, but food safety is a big issue with the slaughterhouses. Gail Eisnitz wrote a book called Slaughterhouse, and it had more words in it about greed of corporations or whatever. But a lot of discussion and a lot of, you know, talking to a lot of employees and USDA veterinarians who are kind of supposed to be protecting the meat, and they're, you know, they're too close to the slaughterhouses. You can have 600 of them going down the line to be slaughtered in an hour. And something like one out of four of the pigs, cows, whatever it is, chickens that get dumped into vats alive to have their feathers burned off of them, boiled off of them, coming down the line, not stunned properly, they're kicking and screaming, and they fall off the chains into a pit where they're clubbed. I mean, it's horrible that goes on. And people need, you know, then, of course, it's the feces that gets all over everything. And so, you know, when you're talking about food safety, humanity needs to be in the slaughtering so that for our own safety, you know, so we don't all end up with E. coli. So she'd be a wonderful person to have on. And then the puppy mills all over the Midwest. And I know we passed a law here, which is minimal. There isn't a pet store in the country that sells dogs that doesn't get them from a puppy mill. I don't care if you're on Rodeo Drive. And which is why there are so many health issues with so many of the dogs you get at pet stores. And when they take them back, they just dispose of them and give you another dog. So, you know, really, really gutsy speakers about this to really get people to understand. I mean, we run into people all the time and say, oh, well, there's a rescue for la, 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 la dog, and you can even get a puppy there. And then they turn around and get a golden retriever from some great breeder up north. And then they decide they're going to breed that dog. I mean, I think somebody really good who isn't afraid to speak of the reality of things so people can kind of get a good understanding of this.
All right. Thank you, Ellen, very much for your call. Larry from Madison. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you. Two recommendations. One is that you have on as a guest Timothy Ferris. He wrote a book called The Science of Liberty. And in that book, he argues that modern democratic governance and modern notions of individual rights would not have emerged without science. And he argues further that science is anti-authoritarian and self-correcting. It's really an important way to think about what our democracy is and how to keep it, because science has been under attack in some quarters. So this, I think, is very relevant to much of that current dialogue.
Is it a current book, Larry?
It is a current book.
Okay.
HarperCollins, it was reviewed not long ago, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the excellent. And the second one I would suggest is Dr. James Hansen. He is one of the handful of world authorities on climate change. And he's written a new book called Storms of My Grandchildren, which I'm reading now. It's very readable. I recommend the book to anybody. And the title of his book, incidentally, Storms of My Grandchildren, come from his thesis about part of the unpleasant consequences the human race will face if we don't get our global warming under control. And among those unhappy consequences would be many more storms than we see now and much more violent storms. So it's a very timely book also.
Yes. Thank you, Larry. Good suggestions.
You bet. Thank you.
You're listening to Open Line for the month of May. We're entertaining your suggestions, programs you'd like to hear between the hours of 9 and 11. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And later on, if you want to send emails, you can do that. The people who work on this show are, and it's all at WPR.org, so I don't have to go through this and take up a lot of time. Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G. Chrissy Pease is P-E-A-S-E, and mine is Dunn K, and we'd like to hear from you anytime. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our number two of our program, Are You Really Ready for College? A College Dean's 12 Secrets for Success, and What High School Students Don't Know. It will be very helpful for those of you who have students in high school right now. And also, he has a lot of information that will be helpful to students who are in college and who are struggling, what they can do to turn their academic life around for the good. Back to your phone calls. Open line for May, and we go to Charlie from Kenosha next. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the program earlier about immigration, and the my comment on that was that if there's somebody in the United States that's selling, there's people that are always looking and buying. And I'm a small business owner in Wisconsin, and I recently placed an ad in the newspaper for help wanted. I received no questions, no calls at all from anybody in Wisconsin about finding employment. And I sell Kick-Ass Beef Jerky. That's the brand name. And not everybody, they're collecting unemployment on the Obama money. And what my comment was is that there's people looking for work, and they might be coming from other areas. And what's with our system that our own people don't even look for jobs anymore?
Have you always found this to be the case? You've had a hard time finding workers?
Yes. I was laid off in 2001. And from there, I started this business from zero. We're close to $800,000 in sales in Wisconsin, and we're expanding. And during the recession, the business is expanding, and I can't find employees. And last year, I had responses from people, but they were looking for a free bag of Kick-Ass Jerky, and they weren't interested in working.
So what do you do? Who are your employees?
Right now, it's family. It's myself and my son. And my daughter, she's graduated from college, and she helps me in computer networking. We have wholesalers in Wisconsin in there with throughout that sell this product.
Mm-hmm.
But it's booming, and I don't have enough people to put it out there, and people don't even call and answer an ad for help on it.
Hmm. All right, Charlie. Well, thank you very much for the call. That will we will be doing more programs on immigration. That's coming through pretty powerfully during the course of this hour. So thank you for the call. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we go to Deacon from Sheboygan County next. Hi, Deacon.
Good morning.
Hi.
Got an idea for a show. I'm sorry I don't have a guest to suggest to you, but I think it's a relevant topic. Every day it seems like more and more people fall through the cracks that have opened up in society, and the conglomeration of these people down at the bottom end, they have no hope, they have no future. You can't talk to them about bringing themselves up off the floor because they know it's not true. And it's just, the bottom line is there's no American dream for these people anymore. There's just absolutely nothing. There's not enough time in their lifetimes to accomplish even the simple task of getting enough food on the table for their families. And, you know, I'd like to hear a discussion about that. You know, and I know there's a lot of aid programs and there's different things people can do for this and that, but there are so many people that have fallen beyond that and are just finished as far as they're concerned. They're finished and they question why they even exist. I'd like to hear a program about that. I know it's not the most happy subject going, but I think it's important that we look at that because with the economy the way it is, that number is growing every day.
Okay, Deacon, thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Alice in Zion, hi.
Hello. On a different level, I would really enjoy hearing programs maybe once or twice a month that involved the Native American cultures that you have in Wisconsin. I think frequently we don't really hear on news programs either the difficulties or the advances that happen in a lot of the cultures that you have. I know one of the best newspapers that comes out of Wisconsin has to do with news from Indian Country, which covers many of the tribes across the nation as far as what has been going on or what is new or different or the problems that need to be solved. One main problem that has come up over the years and is being addressed now for many of the tribes has to do with a $176 billion problem with the federal government and the Bureau of Indian Affairs, whereby many of the tribes had monies invested in trust for future, you know, problems,
right,
or developments on reservations, which just from 2001 and 2002, shall we say, disappeared. And I would think that many of the people could be very interested in a lot of these types of questions.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Alice, very much. We haven't done a show on issues. Well, it's not just of concern to Native Americans, but that's a good area, something different for us. Tom in Burlington, hi.
If you can't get Al Gore, maybe you can get Davis Guggenheim. He's the man who directed the movie Inconvenient Truth.
Uh-huh.
And you might be able to get a hold of him. My second idea is no one can say, Chuck, like you can, Kathleen. And my third idea is, In the upcoming campaign, they're going to be talking about taxes, and I wish you could maybe find somebody from the University of Wisconsin who could talk about the benefits of taxes and the benefits and the non-benefits and which taxes are hurting people, and so something from that point of view, and maybe have a series on it. Maybe talk to an accountant or somebody or other. And I know it's kind of a dull thing, but it might be kind of fun. They might be able to just dress it up a little bit.
All right, Tom. Thanks very much for your call. Steven is next on a road trip. Hi, Steven.
Hi.
Hi.
I would actually like to hear a show on electoral reform to empower independents.
All right.
I feel that, you know, with Republican and Democrat, you get just those two. And then there are a lot of independent voters out there who are afraid to cast their vote for an independent because not enough people are going to give their voice to that candidate. And as a result, they would feel that, you know, they would rather choose the lesser of two evils, which will fall to one side or the other. I would really like to hear a show on possible electoral reform in order to possibly give a second choice.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much for
taking
my call. I love the show.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Bye.
Tim in Stevens Point. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to see a program on green financials. And by that, I mean, I had just an estimate for a solar hot water heater, and it came out to about $13,000, and it would take me over almost 30 years to pay it off if at my present hot water usage. And I shouldn't think there'd be any financial incentive for the state or the federal to for something that ridiculous.
Hmm.
But the other one is, like, you got your electric meters that are all automated now. And I know for one electric company, it's going to take them 14 years just to get the money out of that thing. So if you imagine $1 or $100 for that meter times 20%, because they get a 10% interest rate for the money they think, plus they borrow the money at 10%, so that's 20%. And they can't pay that off for 14 years. Electric companies in the state are in on this, so it's not just one.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one is the Sierra Club had won a lawsuit against the state, and now they're, like, the Charter Street plant on Madison, they're investing $250 million to redo that one. But there's 10 other state universities that are having to redo their possible electric, all their, you know, hot water boilers and stuff like that for coal. So need an update on them, too.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Justin from Antioch. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to suggest Samuel Thayer as a guest. He wrote Forager's Harvest and Nature's Garden. It's books about foraging in the Midwest. He's a Wisconsin author. And he has a lot to say on the philosophy of foraging and cultural attitudes toward it. And I'd like it if it was focused on that. You had him on in 2006 with Teresa Marone, and it focused on wild products. But I'd really like to hear one about his philosophy on foraging, environmental impact, because he says it can do a lot of good to the environment, to forage and helping plants to reproduce themselves. And he has a lot of interesting things to say. So
okay, Justin.
I'd like to see him.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, George. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to suggest Mark Weisbrot, Weisbrot. He's the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington, and he was actually on CBS News last night talking about how not very much food and shelter aid is getting through now to the people in Haiti who really desperately need it. My daughter is actually in Haiti right now, and she has told me the same story about how people are actually starving there, and the shelter that they have that supposedly is supposed to be adequate is not adequate at all. So Mark Weisbrot, who was recently here in Milwaukee, would be a really good guest for this.
And why is the food not getting through, George?
Well, as the CBS show called had it last night on their investigative report, they showed that a lot of the agencies, from the Red Cross to the Catholic Relief Services, have only doled out a very small percentage of what they've actually received so far. And even the Clinton Initiative and the Clinton-Bush Initiative, who were not forthcoming in giving them figures to CBS, they apparently are saving a lot of their money for plans for later, helping with other infrastructure. But in the meantime, people are in really bad shape down there.
Okay. Thank you, George.
Sure.
Devin in Green Bay. Has to be a little short, Devin. Hi.
Hi. My question is, or the topic that I'd like to hear about, is why state government or federal government can't or do not collect large amounts of taxes due from those who don't pay over many years. Here in the state of Wisconsin, for example, there's a list, and I see people on that list every year.
Okay.
You know, 35,000 one. Geithner is another one who owed, I don't know, 300,000 or whatever. Didn't pay, you know, taxes that were due beyond the statute of limitations, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Okay, Devin, we're out of time, but we could do a broader show on taxes and who gets by and who pays the most. That would be an interesting show. Thanks so much for your call. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. You don't need to be held to one on-air open line a month for your suggestions. Please email those suggestions to us. Once again, our addresses are in the, it's all at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K. And Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G. Chrissy's is P-E-A-S-E. And they're all at WPR.org. And we like very much to hear from you. So that's it for this program. Thanks to Chrissy for on-air production. And thanks for all of your suggestions. Some of them are really, really good. And we have learned, I think, through this open line that we will be doing more shows on immigration. News coming up. We'll return with more Thursday conversation.